This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let me get to the tweet of the day. And it comes from Coach Ron Hunter of the Tulane Green Wave. And I'm not just doing this because he joins us right now, but his tweet was awesome. After all this time being at home, my wife told me this morning she is going into the transfer portal. Coach, thanks for a few minutes. How you been?
Oh, man, I'm looking for a lawyer. Virginia, she may take everything we got to whatever school she's going to, but how you guys doing?
I'm doing fantastic, and we appreciate you coming on. So what's your plea to your bride to make her stay and not transfer?
Well, you know, I'm illegally promised her things. I told her we can have another wedding. I'm trying to see if she want to have another son as the first-round draft pick, but she says no way to that. So so we just I figure we just go talk this thing out, buddy.
Are you a good cook?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
This all started last night because, you know, again, it's supposed to be recruiting time, and she gave me 5 things to do, and I did one of them. And when I woke up, she just had this note that said she wasn't in bed, and I turned around, and she had a note on her pillow that said, if you need me, I'm in a transfer portal. And that's how I send the thing out.
What was the one thing that you did, Coach?
I ate leftover from last night.
All right. Well, I was going to help you out. I was going to say cook something. I was going to say pour a nice glass of wine. I think you just have to buy a diamond ring now.
Yeah. It's getting bad right now, man. It's getting bad. I tell you what, we need Corona. We need all this stuff to end so I can get my life back now.
don't we all? Ron Hunter here with us, the head coach of the Tulane Green Wave. So new era, new chapter for you, leaving Georgia State. We all remember your time in the NCAA tournament with Georgia State. Recap year one and what it was like transitioning to a new program and a new team.
Well, you know, it reminded me so much when I took over Georgia State. You know, Georgia State at that time, we had had 10 straight losing seasons, and kind of the same thing since Katrina. Really hadn't done anything since Katrina hit Tulane, and so many similarities, being in a major city. And, again, we just had to kind of bring a culture in there, and I thought year one, when you're taking over a program like that, the first thing you got to do is change the culture, and I thought we were able to do that. They won 4 games the year before, did not win a conference game, and so we were able to, you know, we went from 4 games to 12 games, and we won 4 games in the league, and we got better. And we probably should have won at least 5 more, but, you know, we were playing with a whole new team. And I was really proud of our guys because, again, we talk about that first year is all about, you know, again, we had to build a foundation. When I got to Tulane, I thought this was going to be a rebuild, but really about 2-3 months into it, I realized it wasn't a rebuild, it's a build. And so, you know, we looked at it from that perspective, and so I think year one has been a success for us.
It's a good conference in the American Athletic Conference. It's a program that has not been to the NCAA tournament since 1995. So the culture is a huge part of that, like you're saying. The Ron Hunter culture, how do you describe it? What is it, if you have to put it into words?
Well, we hope it's a winning culture. You know, we were able to get the same thing done at IUPUI, and we left IUPUI in good hands, took them to the NCAA tournament, and we feel like we got that program built. Then we turned around and went to Atlanta and Georgia State, and, you know, kind of the same thing. Hadn't been to the tournament in years since Lefty had taken them there, Lefty Giselle, and we kind of were able to get that done, and now we're at our third stop at Tulane. And I'll be honest with you, I feel like this will be the easiest out of the two that I've had. Everybody says Tulane's a tough, hard job. And so I always say I've had the hardest job in America is IUPUI. First of all, most people don't understand what it stands for. And I spent 17 years there. That's a hard job. Tulane is not a hard job. IUPUI, very hard job. So I'm excited about it, Tulane. I mean, New Orleans is a great city to be in, and, And, well, you know, I went to my first Mardi Gras, so my first parade, ate my first oyster. I've never had an oyster before. So, man, we're really having a lot of fun with this.
Yeah, Coach, I think you'll be fine with keeping your wife. You are in New Orleans now. That makes it easier.
Oh, it really does. I mean, and we, you know, we still kept her home in Atlanta, so we kind of go back and forth. We have our first grandchild here. She's 2 years old, so you know, Mom wasn't going to completely leave her. So we kind of, you know, Mom goes back and forth. But, you know, you could be in a lot worse places than New Orleans, Louisiana.
What do you take, Coach Ron Hunter, from that experience at IU, PUI, Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis? What do you take from that you still implement into your game today as a coach?
Well, you know, when I took over that program, man, I had Bobby Knight at one end at Indiana. We had Gene Katie at Purdue. Butler was really great. Reggie Miller for the Pacers. So you've got so many great basketball programs in the state, just in Indiana alone, not even in Ohio. So I felt like we had to do something different. You know, I wasn't going to come in there and change that culture and do the same thing and, you know, run motion and play man-to-man. And so we had to do something different, and I thought playing the matchup, and we started taking transfers before it became popular. And that kind of had success with that. We took that same formula to Atlanta and really did the same thing. You had great programs from Georgia Tech and Georgia. Again, had to do something different, and we were able to do that. And we're now doing the same thing in Tulane and New Orleans. And so I believe in it. I think it's worked. It, you know, I've been a head coach now, you know, for 27 years. So this process has worked, and I know it's going to work here at Tulane. And I'm excited. But, you know, again, out of all the programs that we're able to build, I'm really excited about taking this one and taking this to the NCAA tournament, because I don't think most people believe we're going to get that done.
Ron Hunter here with us on the Zach Gelb Show, now coaching Tulane. You know, now more than ever, when you take over a new program, kids want you to show them that they could trust you, and you also have to trust your kids. How did you build trust in your number one?
Well, I think it's important that one of the things that we had to do is I try to get as many players that I recruit in. A lot of times the trust factor really starts, you know, from the previous coach that had those players. And so he promised them some things, whether it's playing time, whatever it might be. And so I thought the first thing we had to do is bring our kind of guys in. But even that, I think that you got to be able to sell yourself, whether you're selling yourself to a kid that's been in a program or to a recruit. You know, everybody talks about the university, but the first person that young man or that family sees is that coach. And so if you can't sell yourself, it's going to be really hard. And so, you know, and let me tell you something. I used to have this conversation with Mike Davis when he was in Indiana. I used to say, Mike, you know, Mike was talking how hard it was to follow Bobby Knight. And we would talk every night. And I said, well, Mike, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take my job at IUPUI. Try to sell that. My wife at that time could sell Indiana. Put a T-shirt on, say Indiana. That sells itself. Try selling IUPUI. And so he never wanted to trade that with me. He never wanted to trade paychecks either. So I always say, you know, again, you know, you make every job how you make it. I take each day. I try to win the day. You know, I talk about our players. Just win the day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what happened yesterday. Win the day. If you stack wins up, then you're going to have a successful program.
What's the first thing usually a kid asks you when you go into their living room to recruit him, Coach?
They usually, right now, funny, they all ask me about my son hitting a shot and me falling
right
off the chair. Yeah, that's the first thing most people, when I've been in New Orleans now for 11 months, and every single day we still get that, you know, about what was it like when you fell off the chair, or, you know, I was recruiting the kid today, and we were kind of, first time I talked to him, we're doing it on Zoom. And I said, hey, what questions do you have for me and for our basketball program? And his first question was, Coach, tell me about the shot your son hit. And I mean, so it never goes away.
Well, take me back to the conference tournament where you tear your Achilles celebrating. That's why you were on the stool. So how'd you tear your Achilles celebrating, Coach?
Man, it was crazy because it was one of the lowest score games I've ever had. It was in the 30s. And you know, we're playing in a championship game. And remember, the year before, we were 17-1, and we lost in a conference championship game. And my son, and we were devastated. And so we really wanted, as a father and son, we really wanted to go to the NCAA tournament. And so he comes up, he hits the free throw. We call a timeout. We had to get a stop. And I'm standing up. Generally, I try to sit down in that segment, but I was standing up. And when the kid missed a shot from Georgia Southern, I jumped straight up in the air. And while I was up in the air, I could feel a pop. Everybody's running on the floor, and I realized something had happened. And by the time I landed on the ground, I couldn't stand back, and so I fell down. And I was in so much pain, and then I saw my son. My son ran over, noticed I was on the floor, and he dives on top of me. I've got tears in my eyes, and he's yelling, Dad, I've never seen you so happy. And I'm saying, son, I'm not happy. I'm in pain. I tore my Achilles. and so he gets up and he runs to his mother. And his teammates are chasing him, thinking he's excited about it. But he's actually running to his mom to say, hey, Dad's on the floor. He tore his Achilles. And so after about 10 minutes, I couldn't get up. They actually called the security and got security and a doctor over to actually get me back to a chair. So that's how that really started. And one of those days I'll never forget.
What did your bride say to you when you're on the floor and you tore your Achilles and you knew it in the moment?
That's when she should have went in the transfer portal, right there. That's what she probably should have. But, you know, it's funny because when we got back, because that was actually Selection Sunday. That's what a lot of people don't know. So it was actually Selection Sunday. We were going to fly back to New Orleans, but because I was in so much pain, I decided to get a bus, and I want a bus back because I didn't want to get on a plane with a torn Achilles. So we bused all the way back to Atlanta. And it was probably one of the best bus rides in the world. I was on so many painkillers. I don't even remember what happened. But it was a big-time party bus.
Ron Hunter from Tulane here with us on the Zach Gelb Show, recalling that special moment at Georgia State. So then you quickly fast forward. Actually, before we get to the shot and you falling off the stool and your son's big moment with RJ Hunter, was there ever a shot that you were going to miss that game because you tore your Achilles and you didn't want to be on the sidelines or couldn't be on the sidelines?
No, I was. You know, it was funny when I got back here in Indianapolis. I saw the doctor on that Monday. We knew we were playing at that. We knew we were going to play Baylor, and so we had talked about, do we do surgery? And I said, there's no surgery. Just kind of put a cast on this thing, and you know, just get me through the weekend. I kept saying, get me through the weekend, get me through the weekend. And so that's what we did. We put a cast on, and what most people don't know is after when I fell, I cracked the cast. They had to recast me before I got back to the hotel after that win. So I had two casts in a time of 4 days because of myself falling. One, I fell because of the tore my Achilles. And when I fell off the stool, I cracked the cast. They had to recast it in the locker room.
Wait, so when your son hits the shot, you broke the cast?
Oh, yeah. When I fell off the chair, I broke my cast.
Wow.
And so, you know, so I'm sitting back there and the doctors come in. And really, you know, it's funny. When they were doing that and we were sitting in the locker room where everyone's excited, I had no idea that people knew that I fell off the chair. I didn't realize that until I got back to the hotel and my phone was going crazy and people were calling. I just thought, you know, because I got up kind of quickly, what I thought was quickly, and I thought surely no one saw me fall off the chair. That was probably one of the dumbest things I've ever said or thought in my life because I think half the world saw it.
It was amazing. I'll never forget it. Also never forget, and I love Steve Lapis, so we could tease him a little bit right here. He was yelling at your son doing the game that, what are they doing? Because you guys were down by two. He thought they should have drove, drive right to the hoop, and your son pulls up from long distance, makes the three, and the rest is history.
See, that's why I love Steve Lapp. See, that's why he's not coaching. See, right there, that's the reason why he's not coaching right now.
I'm not going to lie to you, Coach. I thought you guys should have probably driven to the hoop, too.
No, we you know what? It's funny. One of the things that we always talk about when we, as a mid-major, you're playing a team that's ranked good, you never, ever
go for the win.
Time.
You're right.
We always go for the win. We always talk about that. I've even talked about that with my son growing up. So that was something that we've always talked about. You always, always go for the win.
Yeah, it's one of those moments where you're watching it, you're saying, why aren't they driving? Why aren't they driving? And the announcers are saying, why aren't they driving? And you make the shot, and you just go absolutely nuts. So when you look back, Ron Hunter, at that moment, at that time, and it's more than just that moment, and you're able to coach your son in college. I know you love your players like family, but your son, it's actual family right there. That's your blood. How do you look back on that time being able to coach your kid?
I'll be honest with you. I say this all the time when I have a lot of coaches that will call me to try to coach their kid, and I tell them this. You know, 3 years that I coached my son were maybe the hardest things I've ever done in my life. I've had some tough things that happened in my life, but the hardest thing I've ever had to do was coach him because in those 3 years, I was never his father. And that's the tough part. When you at this level, when you're doing that, again, it's funny because he never called me dad in those 3 years. And so he didn't call me coach, but he never called me dad. It's always a tough situation. I'll give you an example. I talked about the year before, his sophomore year, we're 17-1. We had won 25 games. We lost on a buzzer in the championship game to Lafayette. We go in a locker room. Everybody's devastated. And I saw two things. My team, everybody had their head down and they were sad. And then I saw my son on the right side and he's crying. I could make a decision right there as a father. Do I go hug my son and console him, or do I address the team? Because I knew we were going to play an NIT. And I made the decision to kind of galvanize the team instead of making sure that my son was okay. And I still, to this day, the worst decision I've ever made in my life. As a father, I should have went over to him. And I apologize. I regretted that. But when you coach your son, those are the decisions that a lot of times you have to make. And that was a hard thing. And a lot of times I felt like maybe I was probably harder on him than some of the other kids because I didn't want those other kids to feel like, you know, that I was giving something more to RJ, especially when he's your best player. NBA scouts are always coming. Everybody's talking about him. So it just made it really hard. And so our relationship is great now. But during that time, man, it was really tough. The other part of it is when he would get mad at me, he would always call home. And I always knew when he would call home because when I would come home from practice, there was never dinner.
Bingo.
So it would be never, ever dinner. She would never cook when he would call man. And so we wouldn't even talk about it. So if he came home, again, we never talked about basketball, but it was really a tough day. And I always say this. I felt like that if I had to do it again, I probably wouldn't do it because it's really hard on the family. It's really tough on the family.
Wow. You know, it's a fascinating perspective because we've seen it before, obviously, with the McDermott family and the Drew family, too. And you think it's always this easy, you know, must be such a nice relationship. But I never thought about it the way that you're telling us how it did go down, because you're right, too. You know, having the whole family involved with it, the minute he calls mom, you know, there's no way you're winning that battle.
Yeah, it's tough because and I think mom had it the worst because what would happen –
She can't pick sides.
And everybody in the stands are looking at her to see how she's going to respond to when, you know, coach player or coach son kind of getting into it. So she had to kind of bite her lip on so many things, and she had to sit there because there wasn't a side to take, although she did take her son's side.
Okay.
But it's really tough. Then, from, you know, my daughter, same thing. You know, my son would always call her, and, you know, she was older. She's a doctor. And so she tried to, you know, calm everybody down. And, you know, when we got together, it wasn't tense, but it wasn't what I would call relaxing because, again, you always knew, you know, we try to never have that basketball discussion. But if we left dinner, we knew we were going to practice right after that. And so it was just really tough. And I love my son, and we have a great relationship. But man, we laugh about it right now. It was really, really hard. I think if you're going to do it, I think it's the best way to do it is if your son just sucks and he can't play. That's the best way to do it. Then you don't have to worry about anything, you know?
Yeah, but there's a problem. That's going to annoy you even more as a dad.
Yeah, it will. But you know what? You can live with that for the most part. You know, he graduated. But I'm telling you what, when you're going through it and you got to go through the NBA part of it, you know, not only about he's the best player, he's going to leave school early. Does he leave after his sophomore year? Is he getting much attention? I had another kid, Ryan Harrell, who transferred from Kentucky. So we had great players on the team. All their parents and their kids, they're trying to get to the NBA also. So it's just it was just so much. There's so many dynamics with it that that's why we were so emotional when that happened, because we knew that once he hit that shot, man, it was all worth it for that time. But it's funny because he left to go to the NBA. We never had a conversation after that shot about, hey, Dad, I'm going to leave for the NBA. We all knew as a family. There wasn't a meeting. We didn't sit for dinner. We knew without even talking to each other that was the last time I was going to get an opportunity to coach RJ.
Last one for Ron Hunter. When we get back to your current team in Tulane, the AAC championship tournament was canceled. Obviously, all March Madness was canceled, too. What did you tell your team when the season just ended so quickly in the AAC tournament, they canceled it?
Man, I'm telling you, it was crazy. We were in pregame meal. And so we were getting ready to kind of talk about, I was getting to put a film up. We're going to play UConn. And we're going to talk about some things that was getting ready to happen. So all the players were in. And right before I'm walking in to talk to the team, my athletic director calls and said, we're not playing. And, you know, I kind of looked at the guys. Everybody's ready and ready to head over to the arena and talk about that. And we're, you know, I say, guys, hey, this is what's going on. And the look on their faces were just, I felt really bad, really for the seniors. You know, and they're like, what do you mean we're not going to play? Are we going to play next week? You know, and I said, no, guys, this is it. And the plane ride home, so we kind of packed up. We got on our plane. And the plane ride home with all 40 people on the plane, it was the quietest plane ride I've ever been on because people just didn't know. And this is the first time. I usually all have a lot of things to say, but I didn't have anything to say to those kids. And that was really, really tough.
Coach, you're the best, honestly. Your personality, your storytelling, it's refreshing. A fascinating perspective on the time, Coach, and your son. Good luck. Take it easy on my Temple Owls, though, when you play them, please. And we'll see you soon, okay?
All right, guys. Thanks. God bless. Take care now.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.